CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Michelangelo said, "The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that our aim is too low and we reach it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who aim high. Our first Playmakers company is a $5 billion bank with 41 banking offices, while our next Playmaker grew up in the family business. With us today is a CEO whose passion is mountain climbing, while our next CEO's company began with the need for safe after-hour ATM customer transactions. These great Playmakers are David Brooks. David is CEO of Independent Bank. And Jamie Ross Kilo. Jamie is CEO of GMR, and we're going to begin today's show with Jamie. As I mentioned, Jamie Ross Kilo recently was appointed CEO for GMR. She's no stranger to her family's business, growing up with the company since its inception in 1991. Now, GMR helps companies nationwide maintain consistent security, lighting design and brand, and compliance standards headquartered in Heath, Texas. After earning her Bachelor of Science from Texas A&M University, Jamie took a full-time position with Southwest Sports Group. She's worked full-time at GMR since 2002. And Jamie, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
My first question is, how does a kinesiology major become CEO of GMR?
Well, you actually already said I grew up with the business. I had the privilege of just being raised in it. And after college, working for Southwest Sports Group, I was driving back and forth from Rockwall to Arlington every day and was working some really long hours and just decided, you know what? I just don't think this environment is for me. And I had an opportunity to begin working full time with the family business and learn it from the ground up. And it took several years to realize that, you know what? GMR is my calling, and I wanted to be part.
So working at Southwest Sports Group, did that give you a chance to see the way another business is run, and did it help you in running GMR?
It did a little bit. After working with the people at Southwest Sports Group, they were wonderful people. It was just a very unique environment. But GMR is a Christian-based business, and the culture was a really important aspect of me wanting to be part of GMR. I needed to get back to who I was and be around family and friends at GMR. And that is what really ultimately led me back to GMR from Southwest Sports Group.
I'm going to ask you about the culture in just a few moments.
Okay.
But before we get there, GMR tells us nothing, and it's really the initials of the founder of the company. So what do you do?
What do we do? My dad found himself without a job back in 1991, and he had left the bank, what is now Bank of America. He left work there to go into business with one of his friends who was starting up a new company, and 3 months later, that company went bankrupt, and he found himself without a job. And he had a wife and three kids to support, the oldest son who was about to go off to college, and he realized he'd spent a long time looking back at what his skill set was, and coming out of the banking sector, he knew there was a need for safety and compliance. The banking industry is very compliance-driven, very regulated, and what he knew was life safety, and he knew that banks needed to have a certain amount of lighting around their ATM machines and their after-hour depositories. And there was a real need, a real niche market for someone to go around and assess facilities and look at these locations. And so that is the core of what we do. That's how we started. We visit 50,000 to 80,000 financial institutions a year, looking at the exterior of their locations, looking at the lighting, looking at the landscaping. And after doing that for years after years after years and providing that information to our customers, they came back and they said, "Okay, we have all this information. Help us get into compliance." And out of that came the solution side of our business. So we're continually growing, and our services tend to piggyback off one another, but we do. We provide engineered-based lighting design solutions to help our customers get into compliance. But also, the reason we do it is to help protect our customers in case of litigation. If you and I were to go use an ATM machine or an after-hour depository at nighttime and there was an incident, we can help our customers show that they are working towards compliance and they're regularly monitoring their locations to help make them safe for you and I to go use and have a good customer experience.
So 25 years ago, your dad discovered that need. I guess it was after having a conversation with a former peer in the bank security industry. ATMs have been around 40-plus years, yet your company started 25 years ago. So apparently for a while, no one really paid attention to the security and the lighting at ATM machines. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've really developed the industry. The banking sector, they often refer to GMR as the subject matter experts when it comes to compliance. And we are a third party. We do not sell any fixtures. We don't do any maintenance. We don't do any repairs. We simply want to be their eyes and ears as if we were a customer using their facilities and making sure it's a place that customers want to come to and that they're safe when they go there.
So you're really a consultant to banks over the country.
Yes, we are. And we do. We work nationwide. It's crazy to think that we're in Heath, Texas, and we have about 80 employees. We self-perform all of our work. We don't sub anything out, and we use our own people, which really brings a consistency and quality that our customers need and they expect. And we go all over the United States and visit all these locations. So for being in Heath, Texas, we have a very far reach.
Apparently you do. We are speaking with Jamie Ross Kilo, and the company is GMR. Website is GMR and the number one, GMR1.com. You can find out what they do. But it knows from the website that it's ATM lighting compliance inspections, physical security risk assessments, facility assessments, engineered lighting, compliance design solutions, energy-driven strategies and solutions. So it goes beyond just the ATM machines. Apparently, your company has grown over time, and you keep adding more to your list of work that you do.
We do. We are working to diversify, and we do a lot of work with property management firms, all different kinds of facility inspections. We gather information. That's what we do, whether it's related to ATM lighting, whether it's related to banking compliance or property management firms. We've assessed medical facilities, but we're currently branching out into the automotive sector. And we really are enjoying that new line of work for us. We go and we will inspect dealerships all across the United States, looking at them to help make sure that it's a good customer experience and that also all of the individual dealerships are representing the image of the brand the way that the overriding organization would want their image to be displayed at a dealership.
Well, outside of ATMs, you really could do this for any type of business.
Yes.
But you're focusing on certain types. I mentioned that I was going to come back to your culture.
Yes.
And part of that is the integrity pledge that your employees signed. Talk about that and how that was developed.
Well, it was developed on Christian principles, and we are a Christian-based business. Really talking about our culture is probably my favorite part.
Your eyes lit up as soon as I asked that question.
Yes. I love to talk about who we are at GMR and our people. But when we say that we're a Christian-based company, what that means to us is that we are going to operate with honesty and integrity and by the law. And we're going to treat people, treat our customers, treat our peers, treat our coworkers the way that we would want to be treated and provide the service that our customers are paying for, the quality that they deserve, and to really go above and beyond what our customers need.
How did the integrity pledge come into practice?
From day one, it has been, it started back actually with when my dad started the business, and he didn't want to be just another vendor. The company that he had gone to work for, when they went bankrupt, it was due to a vendor issue, a vendor not meeting their end of the bargain. And he never wanted to be that. And so he just wanted to be a man of his word. And that is the culture that has just emanated through our environment at GMR that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And if we don't meet your expectations and if the error is on our end, we're going to make it right. And we'll tell you, we'll be very forthcoming with, hey, you know what? This didn't meet our service standards, and we want to make that right because we want to meet your expectations and make you a success.
So if nothing else, part of the culture is communication. You're communicating mm-hmm. with your clients. Now, again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, you have a bachelor's degree in kinesiology and sports business mm-hmm. from Texas A&M. Has that helped you run GMR? Did you learn anything from that? And do you miss it?
I do miss the sports industry a little bit, but my husband brings enough sports around for both of us, and we enjoy going to sporting events. We're very active in sports with our kids, our two little ones. And as far as the business side, I had a wonderful boss in college. I worked for the parking department at Texas A&M University. And my boss there, I will say she was one of my mentors. She really taught me a lot about work ethic and professionalism and how to anticipate what customers need. And so between my job in college and working with Therese and learning from her, and then coming to GMR and having the opportunity to have the mentors there. Our other partners, Alan and Shirley Bailey, have just been instrumental in my growth and my development. And then both my parents, Mike and Linda Ross, my dad is Glade Michael Ross, he is GMR. And then my mom has worked in the business since 1993. She is now retired. But learning from them has just given me a desire to want to serve and to continue learning. And it's given me the ability to be in the seat that I'm in today.
And I'm guessing that also helped develop your leadership style too.
It did. Yes. They, all four of my mentors at GMR, Mike, Linda, Allen, and Shirley, they all are very, very different. And the skills that they bring are very, they're just very unique to who they are. And I've had the opportunity to learn and spend time over the years. I've been with GMR full time for 14 years, and there have been seasons carved out that I get to work with each one of them and learn directly under them what they bring to the table. And the value on that just keeps me going every single day. It's huge for me.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about GMR.
You can go to our website at GMR1.com and learn about us there. There's a contact page and you can reach out to us anytime.
Well, Jamie, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jamie Ross Kilo is CEO of GMR, again, GMR1.com. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. We're going to talk to the CEO of Independent Bank. His name is David Brooks. Back with David right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer would like to invite you to North Texas Giving Day, an online giving event that allows North Texans to raise as much money as possible for local nonprofits. In 7 years, North Texas Giving Day has pumped $119 million into the North Texas community. In 2015, $33 million was raised through more than 118,000 gifts benefiting 2,020 nonprofits. Provide a bonus fund for WOKC. Donate directly to Wipe Out Kids Cancer on Thursday, September 22nd at NorthTexasGivingDay.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. We're here with another playmaker. David Brooks is chairman of the board, CEO, and a director of Independent Bank, a position he has held since the company was formed in 2002. David began his banking career in the early 1980s with a large regional bank and has been active in community banking since he led the investor group that acquired the bank in 1988. Independent Bank Group, through its wholly owned subsidiary Independent Bank, operates 41 banking offices in three market regions located in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin, and Houston areas, and is a $5 billion community-centric lending institution. Now, David has a long history of community and civic involvement and is passionate about education. He has served as a chief financial officer at Baylor University, as president of the board of trustees at McKinney Independent School District, as a McKinney City Councilman, and 9 years on the board at Houston Baptist University. With all that, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, David.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Now, you've been in banking for a while. Let's talk first about your background and how you got into banking.
Yes, my father was career Air Force, and so we lived all over the world, and neither of my parents went to school. They got married at 18 and had three children by the age of 22, so I'm the oldest of four boys. As a junior in high school, unique in my situation, Steve, my father, even though he wasn't educated, he was basically a seventh grade dropout, really valued education, understood, and I think it was the military, his ability to see as an enlisted person what his road was and to see what the different road that the officers got to travel. And as such, and he knew the big differentiator there was that they were all, you know, college degreed. And so he really pushed us and really helped us to believe that if you get an education, it'll make, you know, a real difference in your opportunity in life. No guarantees, but the opportunity.
And he must have gotten a very good practical education, enlisted in the Air Force.
He did. And he later got his high school degree and got some college courses and college credits as a part of his overall training. But he got an incredible life experience. He's one of the smartest men, you know, that I had a chance to grow up under and mentor under. But I picked Baylor University out of a catalog when I was going to high school in Frankfurt, Germany as a junior. And after my senior year in high school, I got on a plane and flew back to Waco, Texas for the first time.
And how did that pop up? As a choice for you?
Grew up in a Baptist family, I'd always gone to Baptist churches, and one of our youth ministers had gone to Baylor and was a big Baylor guy. And I just started looking around. We always, you know, I was born in Amarillo, Texas, and so...
So Texas was really a home for you.
Exactly. And interestingly, though, we left when I was four, and I never lived here again until I came back to go to school. But as you travel all around the world and you move every few years, people, when you get to a new place... The other kids and the other people go, "Where are you from?" And it's like, "Where am I from? Are they talking about the last place I just came from?" Or and so we just always said, "We're from Texas." And so when I started looking for a university, I started looking at University of Texas, and it seemed a little big for me at the time. And then I remember my youth minister mentioning Baylor, and then I was a big sports fan, and I watched a lot of football. And if you remember the Miracle on the Brazos in the mid-70s, when I was a sophomore in high school, Baylor beat the University of Texas to go to the Cotton Bowl in a Grant Taft. And I remember hearing about that and reading about that. And so I thought, I'd check this Baylor University out, and it turned out to be a great home for us. And I got on a plane, flew back, and it was 107 degrees when I got off the plane in Waco, Texas, July the 27th.
Wonderful weather.
And I thought, you made a huge mistake. And then I walked around the campus the next day and saw the young women, and I thought, you know, I'm going to get used to the heat. It's going to be just fine. And stayed there for undergraduate and graduate school. But my start in banking was my potluck roommate at Baylor was from Temple, Texas, and his family owned a bank in Waco. And so my sophomore year, I was already working as a manager at the cafeteria at the freshman girls' dormitory, and which was a pretty good gig. And but his dad asked me one time, "Hey, are you interested in the banking business?" And he said, "We've got a job open." I said, "Great, I'm excited. What is it?" And he said, "You'll be the drive-through teller in the afternoons if you want the job." And so I went to school in the mornings, worked at the bank in the afternoons, and that was in spring of 1979. So 37 years ago, I started working every day at a bank, and I just never let it go. And
interesting how those things happen without you knowing they're going to happen. If you hadn't gone to Waco, if you hadn't had your friend who had a father that had a bank,
Never would have happened.
Exactly. You
could have ended up someplace else.
It could have. And got into banking really full-time out of graduate school, thinking that I would go. I love banking because you get to deal with so many different industries and so many different businesses and businessmen and women and successful people and some not so successful. But I got into banking thinking I'll go find what is that industry or that career that I want to do, and got into banking, fell in love with it, and have stayed with it ever since.
Well, you love banking, but your love of education probably came from your father, because you've been involved, if nothing else, with the McKinney Independent School District, among other things. Is that where that came from?
Absolutely. My father helping me to see and understand at a very young age that if you want to succeed in life, you have to do a lot of things. And my dad taught me a lot of things about integrity and work ethic and those things. But he said, you know, if you get an education to start with, it just makes the road so much easier. And I really found that to be true. And then I also found, as I mentioned, you know, neither of my parents went to college. No one in my family had ever gone to college. I was first generation college student. And in my experience, both for me personally, and my three younger brothers all went to Baylor. We each ended up with 2 degrees from Baylor. I have the great privilege of working with one of my brothers at the bank. And then two of our brothers are in Houston. One's a litigation partner at a big law firm in Houston, and the other one pastors one of the biggest churches in Houston. And so if you look at my two parents, pretty unlikely, you know, pretty unlikely that two, you know, 18-year-old kids who start having kids themselves end up producing four, you know, young men who each in their own way has had, you know, some modicum of success but success in a much broader sense than just our careers and having graduate degrees and all that, but success in family, and we've got 10 children between the four of us, and we've really been able, based upon that, to see the value of education. And so I ran for school board the first time in a smaller community, and then later we moved to McKinney, and I became president of the school board there, as you mentioned, Steve. But my passion around education was personal for me, and it is the great opportunity that young people from any background, I don't care what your handicap is, because everybody's got a story and everybody's got a burden, you've got a chance. You get an education, you got a chance. And it allows people to change their trajectory of their life. And so it to me is one of the things that's really worth investing in, and it's what I'm passionate about.
And you would
about.
Never have gotten into banking without the education at Baylor.
Absolutely.
People talk about the difference between nature and nurture. I'm a big mm-hmm. believer in the nurture, which is what your two parents did,
yes,
which caused the four children to do what they're doing. Let's talk about Independent Bank. You're in three market areas. You're in Dallas-Fort Worth. You're in Houston. You're in the Austin area. 41 banks. How did Independent Bank become so successful?
We really started, and much as others have talked about before, with the idea and the concept that we ought to build a company that stands for something. We ought to have a culture. We ought to have a passion and a vision and for something that counts, that matters. And that's really been around our involvement in the community. And you alluded to it earlier, but and community banks, by the way, broadly as an industry, do a great job in their communities, and they are involved in all levels. But we felt like, look, we ought to lead by example. So my brother and I, who were, you know, founders of the bank, and my partner, longtime 28-year business partner as well, who provided so much of the capital and guidance and leadership over the years, felt like, hey, a bank has a unique role in a community. And it goes deeper than writing checks, and it goes deeper than making loans and providing financial products, which we do and do well. But it has to do with our opportunity to be the steward of resources. We think of it as a kind of a wheel and spoke system. We can't provide all the resources, but the bank has an opportunity to know where those resources are, and we can then lean in and help solve big problems in communities. And that's the fun thing we get to do. You know, there's the old, I think, saying of, you know, son, we do what we have to do so that we can do what we want to do. We're really good at the banking business, but it gives us the opportunity to make a difference in communities and lives. And that's what That's the fun stuff.
And you're that linchpin that helps businesses and individuals get to where they want to go. And to a large extent, I think it's about relationships that you're developing with your clientele.
As we've grown larger, we've really made an intentional culture within our company to stay small. And so as you grow big, and how do you stay small as you grow big? We often, as I go around, travel around the state talking to our bankers, at each location I say, look, the culture only counts, and we can only be the company we want to be if you care about the person in the teller window next to you. If you care, if you're in an office and you care about the person in the office next to you, and you invest in their lives and you get to know them and you care about their children and you know when they're struggling or when they're celebrating, and if you build your culture that way, then you can be big and still be small, and that's been our goal.
Positions here from Oaks. We only have a short time left, but your passion outside of banking to help you clear your head is mountains and climbing. Talk about that and the impact that that's had on you and why you enjoy it so much.
It is one of my great passions outside of work and my family is the mountains. And I think it started really about some 17 years ago. Someone had a midlife crisis in McKinney and got a bunch of the executives together and said, let's go climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And, you know, it sounded like a big crazy thing to do, but, you know, when I looked into it, it seemed pretty manageable. And so we went and did it and had a terrific time. And that really kind of started a fire in me to be interested in mountains, because it was on that trip that I understood that when you get completely away from it all and you get out into the beauty and the majesty of nature and mountains, then as the degree of difficulty picked up over the years, as I learned more and climbed bigger and harder mountains, it really gave me that chance to let go of all the other concerns in the world. And if you're on a rock face or if you're on the side of a mountain and it's 30 below zero outside and you're not too worried about, you know, how the kids are doing in school or those kinds of things. So it's a great hobby of mine.
A lot of people in DFW want to know how to find out more about Independent Bank. So how do they find you on the internet?
They can find us at IBTX, Independent Bank, Texas, IBTX.com.
Well, David, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You're also a playmaker. This has been a terrific show, and thank you, both of our guests, for being playmakers. It's been great having both of you on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.